you pull that reference from?
Well, it just got uploaded to Netflix.
To the Word of the Bay podcast. I am Kyle.
I am Nick.
And I'm Anthony.
Fritz the Cat, man.
Fritz the Cat was fucked up.
Yeah, this is how do you remember this?
It's just something I watched when I was a kid.
For those,
it's one of those random things that stuck with me. I don't know.
Those not participating in the Mixler chat won't know what we're talking about. So if you want to, next time we record, check my Twitter feed, Sharkdropper or Mixler.com/sharkdropper. You can listen to the show live. Usually record on Thursday nights at 8-ish.
Roundabout.
Yeah, we'll fucking kneecap you.
Yeah. Oof. We will kill you. We always have fun in the chat. Everybody kind of hangs out. And people come and go throughout the show, so it's always fun to follow
nice
that along.
Feedback.
Yeah, it is. So you can do that. You can follow me at Kyle WOTB, of course. Nick is at Nick WOTB. Anthony's at Strike Twice WOTB. Do you ever think you'll drop the strike twice?
No.
Yeah, I don't think
we
so.
Just make it twice.
I mean, that's great. No. That's a great handle.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Mm. And it's easy to remember too. I'm
exactly.
Like Nick's former handle.
Hey, I've been Inkman forever.
That's the thing. Yeah,
well,
yeah, because
not anymore.
On Xbox Live, Nick was always Inkman 87, so like that's what I thought his handle was. But then it's
what
like
was yours, Kyle?
Lunchbox.
Yeah, Lunchbox 5001.
Lunchbox 5001.
Like MLG player, I think.
No, it was
Halo.
I got it from Kevin Smith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it might have been. I don't know. But yeah, it was always Lunchbox.
You know, they just released a bunch of like old names that have been inactive forever, and so you could get like your actual, like there was like I think Kyle was one of them, just
what?
Straight up Kyle.
Awesome.
I would love to just be the Nick.
Yeah exactly.
Grape Welsh says his was IDC IDC IDC.
No, that... his is Nick Lindstrom.
Because Lindstrom. Why does he say IDC? Okay, never mind.
I don't care.
He does not care about our Xbox Live names.
No, he doesn't care that he's.
I don't think he cares that it was Nick Lindstrom.
Chat.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
If I ever figure out how to ban you, I swear to God, Grape Welch.
Ban him from the chat, really?
Yeah, well, our fucking five listeners, and three of them are us.
Yeah,
but
why would you ban Grape? He's always here. Come on, we can't ban him. Jesus Christ! Please listen to us. You know, speaking of listeners, I think we got a shot. I was checking out Creative Loafing's 2015 Best of the Bay, and I'm like, man, I think we got a shot. Like, I petitioned hardcore to get us Best Podcast. I hope we win it. That'd be cool.
Did we get nominated? Does that come out soon?
Well, the thing is I think I was wrong. I don't think it's like a nominate and vote. I think it's literally like that's the voting process.
I mean, if you get shut up.
I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll get like a runner-up mention.
Anthony, ever the optimist.
Always.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's going to be tough to beat like some of those guys that are supported by the bone.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't have the same backing, and that's not like to say that our listeners aren't passionate about
so
it.
So we're kind of like the Rays, where we just don't have the financial support.
I was going to say, we definitely don't have the financial support.
Please don't compare us to the Rays, because you're just going to... I can't with you.
Well, think about it. We start off nice nice and even and swell and all that stuff, and we're going smoothly, and then by the end of the fucking podcast, or by the end of the game and the race turns, we just blow it, and we start playing music videos, and everybody's
trying to say that. With music videos and card games.
Yeah.
It's true. Like the whole week leading up, everybody's like, oh, shit's happening. We're going to have a lot to talk about. And then it's kind of like in the off season where they're like, oh, look at all these players we're getting. And then
our bullpen fucking sucks.
Yes. So
hey, let's do something we never do early. We're only 4 minutes into the podcast, maybe five, just about 5 minutes in. So let's do something.
We've finished rambling yet.
We've not finished rambling. The rambling section is still fresh in everybody's mind. So I think we just got to get this one out of the way because I got to get everything out of me right now. So let's ask if the Rays
everything?
Suck. Let's ask if the Rays suck right now. I know what you want. I can read your mind even from behind. And fuck what's in your phone. Let me take you home. I wanna take you home. Cause it's so rare that I'm here. Don't plan on staying too long. So you should come here. Sit your ass on this throne. It's a special affair. Better act like you know who I am. Who I am. This is unprecedented. Never done it this early. Bump, bump, bump.
Kyle just shit his pants. But
did you guys listen to the podcast last week at all?
I listened to some of it.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
To tell you the honest truth, I skipped the Stamkos talk.
Me too. Yeah.
Because I was so like I'm so part of my joy last week was that Stamkos resigned, but the other part was that we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
So yay.
No way.
That's
think
true.
It was...
We don't have this random looming blockbuster trade / sign ahead of us.
I have such a good segue, but we're in the fucking Ray segment. So
it was
keep
either
a, keep an eye on the prize.
It was either this week or last week. I can't remember which one, but there was a theme to my musical cues in the podcasts. And like, if anybody was able to pick up on that,
what Kyle's trying to say is we don't appreciate his editing like we should.
Oh no. No, no, no.
Me and Nick.
I just realized that I kind of had a theme to the songs that I picked to take us into the various cues like the Audible or the Loot Crate ones and the okay, the cue was fucking Eminem, okay? It was all Eminem stuff.
I was wondering where you're going with this, buddy.
You know what my favorite thing about the podcast, listening back to him, is we'll be yelling and screaming about something, and it'll cut to Kyle's ad, and it's him at 6 a.m. recording, and it's just God, softly voiced.
This is Kyle, and I just got 4 hours of sleep.
That'll be this one, yeah.
You guys enjoy Loot Crate?
No, actually,
I'm hoping they send bleach for me to drink this week.
Let me think. The Loot Crate I did. Can we talk about baseball?
No.
I mean,
son of a bitch.
You just said bleach. We're just so so bad. You know what it's you know what the difference is the Bucks were bad and I still wanted to talk about them. The Rays are just so bad I don't.
For yourself.
Yeah, speak for yourself, man. I would love to talk about them because I want to just fucking trash them.
No, I mean I don't want to talk about the Bucks ever.
Oh. Really? You're not like a huge Bucks fan? I guess not, right? Yeah, you're kind of like...
No, I am. I love the Bucks, but yeah. We've talked about it before. Well, we're in the Ray segment,
damn it. Yeah.
I was making a comparison, gentlemen.
I'm still in ramble mode.
This team is god-awful.
Yep. Bum, 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 bum.
I went to last night's game.
How was that?
I fucking paid for it. Paid for nice seats, too. Took my wife on a nice date. You know, thought, hey, cool, we're going to catch a Rays game. We might actually win this one.
Wait, whoa. How did you pitch this beautiful date to your wife? You're like, honey, let's go watch our last place baseball team.
Actually, I said, hey, honey, how about we go to our first game of the year?
Oh, okay.
And she's like, sure, let's go. And I was like, cool, I got good seats. We'll enjoy ourselves and sit down. And first inning, I was like, all right, you know, nice. 1-2-3 inning. We could do this. All right. I like how this is starting. And then it went down.
Who pitched last night?
Smiley.
Snow.
That's right.
No.
Smiley versus Jared Weaver.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jared Weaver.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Blake Snell was today. Smiley was yesterday. Yeah.
Oof. It was,
I wonder it unraveled so quickly.
He did not know where the strike zone was.
It seems like a lot of our pitchers lately don't know where the strike zone
is. You're behind home plate. That's your responsibility to let him know.
I mean, I was telling him left, but I think he just left. I don't think he actually got what I meant.
Chris Archer has had he's regressed this year.
That's a light way of putting it.
Right. Yeah, he's not developed at all this year. It seems like he's been terrible all year. Or not terrible, but like just mediocre. Like he's had a couple of good starts here or there, but for the most part, he's not been that great.
I'd say he's been terrible for an ace, because that's what he is.
Do we have an ace? Like, who's the ace?
No, I mean, no, now we don't, obviously.
I guess when you compare him to the rest of our staff, yeah, I guess he's the ace.
Run through our pitching staff. Odorizzi, ace?
Nah.
No.
Smiley, ace?
Nah.
Archer, ace?
Nope.
Bumpluck McGee? I'm kidding. I just forgot the other two names. Snell?
Blake Snell and whoever else.
Matt Moore.
Yeah, Matt Moore's actually been our best pitcher.
Yeah, he actually, you know what? Yeah, he has been. Now that I think about it.
Matt Moore's the ace.
Matt
God damn
Moore.
It.
Yeah, Matt Moore's the ace. Who would have thunk it? So why is this? Why is this happening? I mean, our starting rotation was supposed to be the best part of our team. You know, that was supposed to be our bread and butter. So do you think they're feeling the pressure from the bullpen, thinking, okay, I got to go out there and pitch my perfect game because I'm gonna eventually have to turn the ball over to the bullpen, and who knows what's gonna happen after that? Or is it simply that they're not being motivated properly? Are they just that bad? Or is the defense behind them that bad? I mean, it's hard to pinpoint what the problem with this team is.
I think it's a combination of everything, really. I think it's a combination of not feeling like you have to go seven to give the team a chance to win. Because if you only go six, it's like it's three innings for the bullpen to blow it.
Yep.
The offense has been better, so you think that'd make them more comfortable, but it seems like it's done the opposite, and they're not as like locked down and, you know, on the mound as I would like. I mean, obviously it could be a mental thing. And then who knows? Maybe one of them is hiding an injury. I don't know, man.
It's weird.
This is weird.
This isn't the goddamn Stanley Cup Finals. Nobody's holding back an injury.
David Price did it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, fair enough.
And you know what, Kyle? You called that. You called it that year. You said that he was hiding something from the very beginning.
I said that. What I said is I think that his offseason had a effect on his start, which it did. But
is it possible? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that was his Cy Young year, right? When you were saying
the year after, yeah.
Yeah, the year after Cy Young, and that all the prep and hype and, you know, coverage and affected how he trained.
The early days of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that they've just been figured out as like a staff?
No, absolutely not. I don't think that's that at all, because if that were the case, we would have seen this a long time ago.
This would have been Hickey.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because they were all young. Like, they were still, like, developing and stuff like that for a while. Like, you got to remember, our pitching staff is really young. And the more film that gets out there on them and stuff like that, I'm just throwing shit out there because I don't really know.
I mean,
I don't know.
Well, I don't think that's correct, because you look at the guys that have come and gone through our system. We've been able to succeed with a system for so long. And then here you have this year where we've said, you know what? Fuck that system. We're going to do something else. and lo and behold, everything's falling apart. Like the bullpen, the rotation, the hitting, the fielding, everything is falling apart. The goddamn wheels are coming off, and we're going to lose 100 games this year.
We're going to homer our way to 100 losses.
And what's different? Well, what's different? What's different this year from every other year? What's different?
Oh, I've got it. I've got it.
I know you. Everybody out there has it.
You know how last year, you know how when pitchers come in their first year, they actually have an advantage over the veterans because no one has a book on their stuff? Somebody has a book on Kevin Cash now.
No, I disagree. No, that's not what it is.
I know I just said Kevin Cash, but I was joking.
No,
I really don't think it's his fault.
Listen, I think if you're screaming at your iTunes app right now, I'm telling you, this is what's the big difference from this year from every other year. It's we're not doing the pitching and defense thing anymore. We're like, we'll go hit like the Blue Jays. We're not the fucking Blue Jays. We're not going to be able to pay all these guys millions of dollars to go out there and hit the fucking ball every game. I said at the beginning of the goddamn season that that it's gonna take the bullpen. Like it's all gonna rely on the bullpen, and if that's not gonna happen, the whole team is gonna be shit, and it's shit right now because we can't pitch, we cannot pitch, and we can't field behind our pitchers because we went out there and we got guys like Steve Pearson, Logan Morrison, and Brad Miller, and we still got Evan Longoria, and we still got the, you know, our outfield is fair, but for God's sakes, like if we can't scoop these goddamn ground balls and turn these double plays like we used to, then we're fucked. Like, why does it seem like every pitcher that leaves us doesn't do as well? Do you know why? Because the defense that was behind them could scoop up the balls and could make the plays. That's not happening this year. It's not happening at all this year. And that's my thing. Like, we have gone away from that philosophy, and it's biting us in the ass. It's biting us in the ass big time.
Yeah, this power-hungry thought process, we're sacrificing, you know, people who may not even have a decent batting average but has a little pop on the bat.
Right.
And I think it's showing because Hartenfield doesn't look like they know what they're doing. Brad Miller has no range. He has no range.
Right. And he has a solid bat. And I'm like, okay, so the guy can obviously hit, but that's not our game. Like that'll work, you know, in Chicago maybe, or in
the Bronx Bombers when you have a short right porch.
Right, but that's not going to work in Tampa Bay where you can't pay guys to hit around them. Like, that's or not only that, but you can't pay for both. You know, you can't pay for
one.
Right.
So you really think, and I'm not saying I disagree with you, but you really think that the defense being average at best is really having that much of an effect on our pitchers?
Absolutely.
Where they're getting shelled like Smiley did last night when he's just serving it up with no. And you said it yourself, Nick. He has no location. Like I feel like if the pitching staff was pitching up to their potential, even with the defense like this, we'd be above 500 because the offense. And you said it, Kyle.
Yeah.
Not to sound like an asshole as I say that, but Kyle. But you said it that the offense is one of the best ones we've had.
Yes.
In recent memory.
Yes.
So if the pitching, and they're not going to, by the way, the pitching's not going to figure it out.
No.
It's not. I'm past that point. Yep. It's not happening. But if they did, we'd probably be in the playoff race.
Oh, definitely.
And even with the defense that we have.
Definitely. If we had half the pitching staff we were promised, we'd be right there up in the division race.
This is our bill of goods that we were not delivered upon.
Oh Jesus! I forgot. I already forgot what you said. What you told me, but I wanted to respond to it. And
what? Me or Anthony?
Anthony.
Which one? But I made a few points there.
Well, I think
you really think the defense has that much effect.
Well, there you go. It's a compounding problem. Okay, I'm not saying it's this problem rests solely on our defense. However, you know, if you can't. If a pitcher goes out there nightly and knows, I don't have the defense behind me, I got to make every pitch, or then, you know, that puts the pressure on him, and he's pressing and he's trying to hit the strike zone every time, and maybe he's missing on location, or he's just trying to pound it in there too much when maybe he should dance around the strike, that kind of stuff, that like where it's a snowball effect. And I think that it starts when we change this philosophy. I think that's the big thing. We can't afford to be the boppers, like the big boppers out there and hitting home runs every night and going out there and outscoring our opponents to win games. That's not who we are. It's never been who we are. And we can't afford to be that kind of a team. And that's my argument. You know, you see the way that this infield plays, and you see the way that this team has been playing. Sure, they can hit well, and they're maybe one of the best hitting teams that I've seen when healthy. But I think
that's a good caveat too, because when we don't have that roster or that lineup that we're used to, we're trotting out a bunch of barely 200 batting average guys.
Yeah,
Jeff Dacker was fucking like starting in right field for like a week and a half straight. That just shows that our depth is non-existent.
And then
Durham,
and then
it's,
you know,
fucking,
what?
There's nothing. It's barren. There's nothing.
I saw this week that Odorizzi's being shopped to the Rangers for a bat. Like, do you see what's happening in our bullpen? Like, Why do we need a fucking bat? Like, can we get, like, a guy that could pitch the sixth inning or the seventh inning, maybe? So we don't have to run Steve fucking Geltz or whoever the fuck out there? Stop!
To go off the back of that, Kyle, we had a conversation last week about should this team be blown up.
Blown up?
Yeah, I was going to ask. It's been a week. It's only gotten worse, obviously.
Yeah.
You think it's time to just have a fire sale and just get rid of everybody with not everybody but most people with any value.
I gotta say, guys, at least for Kyle's sake, they're listening a little bit because Dana Evelyn was placed up for assignment.
Yes,
dude, you know how much we've shuffled the bullpen,
and you know
these
what?
Guys are fucking. Those guys are getting frequent flyer miles from Durham to Tampa. It's ridiculous. And they just keep shuffling in the same shit. Like, oh, maybe he's better this time. He's, you know, he's pitched two games at Durham. And he just gets shelled. And they're like, all right, DFA him. Bring up the other guy again.
Yep. I'm starting to see the same kind of knee-jerk bullshit with the Rays that I see with every other goddamn team in this market. And I hate it. So... like, look at the. Let me back up. Let me backpedal a little bit. If you look at the Mets and you look at the Cubs, you know what's the or and the, you look at the Padres. What's the one constant you see? You see former Rays doing really fucking well.
I know exactly.
Or not really well, but I mean they're still performing. There's a catcher in New York that's at least getting hits and who's on the goddamn the line score every night. Or not every night, but you know he's at least on the goddamn line score.
Can I read you guys a stat line real quick?
Oh,
and I'm not going to tell you the name, but I want to read you a stat line.
I bet. Go ahead.
295 batting average, 19 homers, 59 RBIs, 14 stolen bases. Who do you think that is?
Stolen bases?
14.
Does it rhyme with Bill Byers?
It might.
Oh, I was going to go BJ Upton because I know he's having a pretty great year, too.
That's fucking Will Myers.
That's Will Myers.
Line.
Oh, lovely.
At first base. Hey, we got a problem. We got a real problem at first base here, boys. All right, we can't. You know what? Myers can't play the outfield. We got to get him out of here. He's got a couple of. And look, I was on Twitter.
First base.
Yeah, he's playing, and he's playing it really well, too. Wouldn't that have fit well?
Yeah, it
would.
This year.
I was on Twitter sort of defending the Will Myers move, and I guess I regret that. So you can call me an asshole all you want, but that was a bad move. There you go. I admit defeat. I'll take my L. I'll eat the crow.
I don't remember who he traded him for.
Just a bunch of bullshit. I don't know. Let me look.
I think we got Logan Morrison. No. I was going to say Forsythe out of that deal. Was it that deal? I don't know.
I'll look.
Because he was a Padre.
I'll find out for you guys.
Okay.
But yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. But you have James Loney and you have not Jose Lobaton, but Rene Rivera doing well. who would have thought? But God.
And he's already got a career high in walks already. So he's starting to see the ball better too. That was one of his big problems here.
Ryan Hannigan and Will Myers were traded to the San Diego Padres for Steven Souza Jr. and Travis Ott.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Lovely.
Yep.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If we blow it up and we just completely wipe the slate clean, I mean, the only guys left standing are like Longoria and Kiermaier in like a field of ash.
Archer.
And no, I think they trade Archer.
I think Archer's
on table.
He's
still got value.
Yep.
But do we trust this front office to build it back up correctly?
That's the thing. No, we don't. Like, I don't trust this front office a single bit. And everybody's wanting to put the blame on Kevin Cash, but look at the guys he was given, okay? Everybody's saying that Kevin Cash has lost the locker room and these guys aren't like, they fucking blow! All these guys blow! Like, what is he supposed to do? Kevin Cash is out there looking at his goddamn lineup card like,
okay.
Like, these guys? Like, yeah. Fuck, for fuck's sakes. Like, Joe Maddon couldn't make this team a winner. Shut up.
You know what needs to happen to the Rays is the same thing that happened to the Lightning. An owner needs to step in who really gives a fuck.
And I think if you guys want to put on tinfoil hats with me for a second, I think this is all being done on purpose.
You think this is intentional floundering?
How can you say Jeff Fahey's going to buy the Rays?
How convenient that the St. Pete City Council allows the Rays to look other places, and then let's change philosophies that we've had that's been working for us for years. Let's just change that shit. Go with this one. See what happens. We suck. Apathy grows in the town. Everybody stops caring. Attendance goes down. And suddenly they're looking in fucking Montreal for a stadium.
Kyle, are you sure you're not like a moderator on our conspiracy?
I'm telling you, man. Why can't they make pretty lines in our AstroTurf like every other goddamn AstroTurf field? You know why? Because
I swear to God, Kyle goes to the Trop and just yells at the ceiling.
They don't give a fuck, man. No, they don't care. They don't care. They don't want that field to look good. They want it to look shitty, so everybody will put us down and say, "Oh, Tropicana Field is not a good place for baseball." Bullshit.
I bought this hot dog for the tinfoil that it comes in. God damn it.
You go to Fenway Park and you go to Tropicana Field. Go to Fenway Park, go to Tropicana Field. Tell me which one has better sight lines. Tell me. I bet you. I bet you $1,000 that it's Tropicana Field. $1,000.
Wow. You're not wrong.
Fuck you.
You're alienating our non-existent Boston fan base.
Yeah. I've never gone to the Trop and wanted for anything. It's air conditioned. Food's good. The seating is good. It's comfortable. I can sit wherever the fuck I want, but that's besides the point.
Is the food good?
The food,
I would say, for the most part, yeah, the food's pretty good.
Solid, yeah, it's food solid.
Hey, food doesn't suck. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah. Never wanted for anything in the goddamn Trop. We hit the catwalks every once in a while. The ball gets lost in the ivy at Wrigley Field every fucking year. Nobody's having a big circle jerk.
It's heritage. It's fucking part of the heritage of the Cubs. It's part of the game.
Yeah.
Have you seen Wrigley Field lately? It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, It's outdoor baseball. Nick, when you went to Safeco Field, that was beautiful,
gorgeous.
Right? Yeah,
it was absolutely gorgeous. Granted, it was 65 out, but...
Look, I'm not...
I want that, man.
I'm not saying that I don't want an outdoor field. I'm just saying that, stop calling it, a big shithole. Like, it's fine for baseball. Why is everybody dogging on the Trop all the time?
There was an Astros fan, this was a while ago, but he was dogging on it. I'm like, you have a fucking hill in center field. Do you want to continue this conversation? Please.
Like every field has some, every field I can think of anyway, has some kind of niche like thing to it. Something that breaks it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Name a goddamn field. Sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
It's fine. Nobody thinks that it's a crazy hoax that the fucking Boston Red Sox get to play with what's essentially a racquetball
blocker
in left field.
Right,
home run blocker.
Nobody's complaining about the short porch and left for Yankee Stadium. You know,
yeah,
every stadium's got that thing that they can be identified by, like Nick said. And
ours
sometimes they're good. Like every time I think of San Francisco, I think about that giant glove they have in the outfield.
Yeah,
I can't think of one instance that the catwalks have genuinely helped the Rays either. I would say you have an argument if it's been beneficial towards us, but I cannot recall it being very beneficial towards. Matter of fact, the three times I can recall one of the I-rings or the A-rings being hit and the ball falling into play was inside a home run.
Look, they're few and
against us.
They're few and far between, my friend. I mean, they are. It's true. And look, I'm not saying that we don't need to replace Tropicana Field, but I'm just saying that shut up about it, please. Stop pretending like it's this big affront to you as a baseball fan. It's a fucking indoor stadium it is the middle of July, or not the middle, it's the beginning of July, it's the middle of summer, and it's fucking awful outside, and I do not want to be sitting outside for one of these games. I will not go. I'm not gonna go. I want to go inside and be comfortable at a game. And
everybody complains about early season Bucks games.
Yeah. Oh God!
Everybody complains about it.
I almost blacked out in the 300 level when when Jeff Garcia threw a touchdown to Joey Galloway. I almost blacked out.
Stand up too fast.
Yeah, dude.
You're pretty close to the sun there too at the 300 level. So
it's the worst. Yeah. Me, Nick, and our friends Ryan and Tony. We were all there. We all were like, "Fuck."
You know what? There's been a lot of domes that have been real eyesores from the outside. The Trop is not one of them.
Looks
just fine from the outside.
But I still think, to bring this all back, I still think the conspiracy is in motion to tank the guy. Look at all the talent we've traded away, and look how shitty we are right now.
You know what? It just opens the doors for the rowdies to join the MLS. For Rays Leaf.
Good. You know what? That'll make a hell of a soccer stadium.
Well, let's wrap this up real quick, and I just want to say a couple of things. Number one, I am not on the trash cash train, okay? I think the guy's been given two shit rosters and that have had a lot of injury problems, and I'm not ready to trash the guy. I think the guy's a very smart, intelligent guy. He's very measured with what he does. Oh, he lost the locker room, Kyle. Everybody's looking like they're fucking off out there. Yeah, you know what? We're really bad. We're really bad in a lot of facets of our game.
What losing team has ever been happy? Name me one.
Exactly.
Please.
Oh,
the Rays. Anthony. When they had Joe Madden.
Joe Madden would have brought them out. Shut up.
Here come the Penguins.
Maybe it was because our floor with the Rays with Joe Madden as the manager was a little higher because, you know, a bad year for us was 79 and 80 something. Well, maybe Madden being here and exposing us to winning or at least not losing so terribly maybe clouded our vision towards how we see cash, because I think what people were expecting was more of the same, and that's eccentric luck. And everybody really hates watching losing baseball. But at least when, you know, Madden was here, when we were losing, it was creative. It was somewhat funny. It was something to watch. Like, Kevin Cash is losing baseball games in a normal, crappy baseball team manner.
I'm worried because I feel those fucking evil hands of obscurity pulling this team back into nothing.
Yep.
Like when they were the Devil Rays. I feel it happening. I feel it. I feel that winning culture that we built, that the organization built when Friedman was at the top. Or is it Friedman that went to the Dodgers? That's right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That winning feeling that the clubhouse had, that, hey, we got a chance here. Let's go all in. Like they did in 2010. You know, it didn't work out, but that's, you know, still, like, I'd take that season now. But it's slipping away again. And I know that they're the Rays now, not the Devil Rays, but it's certainly starting to feel like the Devil Rays again.
We got some demons to exercise, that's for sure.
Nobody gives a fuck about the Rays on, at least on social media. Nope. I see like two or three people tweeting about them during games now.
And you know,
honestly, I want to sum up with a hashtag, like have the Rays lost yet? Because that's what I ask my wife when the game starts.
You know, the sad thing is I'm seeing people jump off that bandwagon now. Everybody's slowly jumping off. Well, people tell me things like, well, don't you feel like that magic is gone? Like, the magic doesn't fucking last, man. You just
I'm going to sit here until it's back.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? I'm going to suffer through this bullshit. I'm just going to sit here and be bitter and be an asshole like I have been for years with the Bucks until it gets better.
If it ever does. Let me just throw this out there. If you're jumping back to, like, I don't know, whatever team you rooted for before we were the Rays and not the Devil Rays, if you're jumping back to that team now, you could fuck off and stay there.
Yeah, fuck off and
fuck
die.
You.
Yeah,
go. I'm tired. Fuck that.
Go root for the Cubs.
If you're going to be a Yankee fan all of a sudden again after these years of trashing them every time we beat them, fuck you.
No, you know what it is?
Oh,
you know what it is
you.
Now? It's Cubs fans. They're becoming Cubs fans. It's like, yeah.
I have a lighthearted question for y'all.
What's that?
I do.
Mark Topkin is a Cubs
fan.
Well,
I mean, it's kind
yeah,
of
he is.
Baseball, kind of Rays, but I don't want to, I mean, tagging in on the segments, fine, I guess. I don't know. I just.
Go ahead.
Now that, I mean, it's clear that the Rays aren't going to do very well for the rest of the season. I wouldn't predict us to go to the playoffs. I mean, odder things have happened, but I'm not foreseeing a lot of success. So, have you guys picked your second team out yet?
Fuck them. Fuck everybody.
For what? You mean like the playoffs? Or
yeah.
Something?
No, like, have you picked a team that, like, is good to watch?
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yep, that's my second team. No, if we're talking playoffs, I know we just talked about this, but if the playoffs cut, I'm rooting for the Cubs to win the fucking World Series.
I mean, the Cavs just won it, so, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, why not? It's been a long time.
As long as a. And Joe Madden finally gets his World Series.
I'm saying this half in part to spite Kyle. But...
Well, this is the part that might hurt Kyle a little more, because my team that I've chosen to support is the Chicago Cubs.
Okay. If you want to...
That was one of the way this week.
I think he muted me or himself.
This is all I have to say. This is all I have to say.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. Now,
motherfuckers.
Whatever.
Go win your fucking championship, the Cubs, and suck Joe Madden's dick all day. Go win it. Go win it. I'm happy for you. I'm real happy for you, Chicago. Yeah, it's been a real playoff fucking drought. Oh, you've been starving for one. It's been what, like a year since you won a championship? Where's mine? Where's my championship?
This went so much better than I expected.
Oh, I'm really glad I said that now.
Yeah, so am I. We love you, Kyle.
Okay, let's go to commercial. Let's end this. Rays suck. Does everybody agree?
Yeah, that Rays suck.
Bam, 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 bam.
And then we'll reconvene. Okay. And I'm gonna go calm down. I'm gonna go have a drink. I'm gonna calm down.
Play a fucking music video or two.
Yeah, I'm gonna play it too. They got the whatever, Jay Cutler. Whatever. Whatever. Yeah. Enjoy your championship. That's all I gotta say. Just have fun. I'm happy for all you guys. Oh, it's been since 1900, I remember.
If you guys want to join us next week when we talk about the Cubs more.
Look, I'm real happy for you guys. So happy for you, Chicago. Man, you guys haven't...
Dude, it's the fucking Cubs, Kyle. It's the Cubs.
They haven't won since the Ottoman Empire was a thing.
Oh, boo-hoo! Oh, no! We haven't won. The Blackhawks have been a fucking dynasty, and you guys.
I'm sure there's someone in Chicago that's like, hey, that you know, I really wish Tampa would get one in some sport. I really wish.
I'm sure that there's some Cubs fan in there that before.
You know what's happened since then? The Blackhawks have won all the goddamn championships. The 85 Chicago Bears have happened. Like, everything has fucking happened.
What are you talking about?
The Bulls. Yeah, you had two three-peats. You had two three-peats.
Basketball.
The Ottoman Empire. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
Fucking Cubs, dude. The Cubs.
Yeah.
Let them win it. Let it get out of their system, and then we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Look, I'm happy for you. Go, you know.
Hey, at one point in time, you remember everybody here felt bad for the Red Sox because they hadn't won anything forever.
Listen, yeah, they're going to turn to real assholes once they win it.
Yeah, they did. Well, I mean, I foresee
the Cubs are too.
Same thing happening to Chicago because they're from a big city, and they have an elitist thought process.
I know they took a Stanley Cup from our hands, Kyle. I get it. I understand your pain.
We've won two championships ever. They've won like what, 11? At least?
Yeah, everybody but the Cubs. They're like the Tampa of Chicago.
No, the Cubs have won. The Cubs have just won a long time ago.
Yeah, over 100 years.
Over 100 years ago, yes.
If we're like somehow like alive because we've been like made from parts of robots and stuff like that, and it's been 100 years since the Bucks won. One, Kyle would have already died from heartbrokenness. They wouldn't have been able to save him.
Hey, you gotta wait. You gotta wait till we get to the robot baseball. Kyle and I figured this out years ago.
Why do they have to win with our manager? Why do they have to do it with our manager? And suddenly everybody.
Dude, he took the better job.
Yeah, he did. He did. We've already.
Like, I can't sit here and lie to myself about that.
No, that's his dream job.
You know, we can actually don't need to be mad at Madden for this. We need to be mad at Freeman because he's the one who put it in his contract as an out.
I'm mad at everybody.
I think the year before he took the Cubs job, we went to Wrigley, and I saw the look on his face looked around Wrigley. He's like, oh, fucking, we got that opt out, and, you know, they're probably going to fire their manager.
Did you guys know that they have a nice cooler in their ballpark for the...
They're getting ready to remodel the stadium. They got a ridiculous farm system.
Joe Madden goes home, like, slightly wine drunk and has the most satisfying orgasm every night because he's the manager of the Cubs. Oh,
it's like the perfect team for him too, because he's so quirky and everybody loves him. And
it's the
Cubs.
How
happy would you be if the Cubs were, say, Game 7 World Series, bottom of the ninth, two outs, down by one, and he pinch hits somebody to strike out, and they lose the World Series?
He pitch hits Eric Hinsky.
Who do they lose to? The Giants.
No, that is a big thing.
It wouldn't be the Giants are in the NL. It'd be an AL team.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm so used.
They lose to the Red Sox.
Let's say the Angels or the Orioles. How about that? The Orioles.
No, it won't be the. Well, yeah, I'll be, fuck yeah, Orioles. Go Orioles. I'll be happy.
They haven't won a championship in a while either. Orioles, but Kyle doesn't care about that because Joe Madden's not the manager.
That's true. Baltimore's won. Okay. Don't
go ahead, Kyle.
Don't call me. I'm a hypocrite. I'm being an asshole. I'm just talking a bunch of shit. Okay.
If you're a Cubs, I know we all are.
If you're a Cubs fan, I don't care, man. Go ahead, do your thing.
A Cubs fan after I just got done saying that I'm going to sit through this Rays bullshit.
I'll be happy for
probably 20 years before they even win a game.
I'll be happy for Joe. Yeah.
I don't know. I was about to say, I don't know.
No, you won't. You're going to get on this podcast after they win the World Series. You're going to be like, hey, fuck Joe Madden. That'll be the first words out of your mouth.
You know, he's right, because you're going to have to deal. It's not going to be Joe Madden or the Cubs. Or anybody in Major League Baseball that's going to change your opinion on that. It's going to be the Cubs fans, and they're going to fucking ruin it.
I hope he gets his dick stuck in a deep dish pizza. That's going to be the first words of
the Cubs. Yeah, I hope you choke on a deep dish pizza, you fuck.
Oh. Too much cheese.
No, probably. okay. The Rays suck.
For what? Goodbye. What the fuck did I just say?
Two questions for you guys. Am I original? Am I the only one? Then head on over to lootcrate.com/shark, and they want you to join them for their futuristic July as they celebrate some of pop culture's favorite prognostications of science in the future. Look towards tomorrow with items from Rick and Morty, Futurama, Star Trek, Mega Man, Valiant Comics, and Star Trek again. I guess they must have did it twice. Cool. They've included a model, a figure, and their monthly tee and pin. So what is Loot Crate, guys? Loot Crate is a service for $20 a month. You're going to get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and a hell of a lot more. You have usually until the 19th, 9 p.m. Pacific time to subscribe and receive that month's box. So if you guys like this future-themed box, you only have until the 19th of this month to get that box. And then after that, you're not getting it anymore. So if you're a big Rick and Morty fan, if you're a big Futurama or Star Trek fan, you may want to check out this month's box, and time is running out. Time is of the essence, guys. You can't fast forward to the future to get this box ever again. In fact, if you fast forward to the future, you're gonna fuck yourself, because you're not going to get your hands on this Loot Crate. So make sure you head on over to lootcrate.com/shark. Enter the promo code SHARKDROPPER. You're going to save yourself 10% off your first Loot Crate. And it's a $45 value in every crate. You're getting it for $20 a month, and you're gonna get it for even less than that by going to lootcrate.com/shark. You put in the promo code SHARKDROPPER, and it's also gonna help us out. It's a lot of cool stuff. I really like the way that every Loot Crate was laid out, and it's a lot of neat, cool things in it. So if you're into all that kind of stuff, you want to save a little bit of money on it as well. lootcrate.com/shark, promo code SHARKDROPPER.
Yeah, that's part of it, yeah. I mean, to anybody that didn't watch Marty play for all those years, they're not going to understand that his size really didn't matter in a lot of situations.
Mm-mm. No. And I've never seen Marty, other than trying to, you know, body somebody out and get a puck in the corner, I've never seen Marty's size play a factor in his play.
He's never backed down from anything.
I mean, I've seen him back down from a fight or two, but
no, but like, I mean, just physical play on the ice. Like,
oh yeah, no, he sticks his nose into everything. Look, yeah. as this is going on, you know what else I found out about Marty? He was the spokesperson for the Frozen Four.
To come here?
Yeah, he was like a key integral part to have the Frozen Four come back to Amalie Arena. And
I think this area has forgiven him.
I think the area very much so has. I don't know if
I have. Yeah, I'm fine with him now.
Yeah, why not, Nick?
Yeah.
We just talked about it.
I take a genuine offense to somebody saying I don't want to be here. Not, I'd like to go somewhere else. I think I have better opportunity winning someplace. I have no problem with someone saying I feel like I have a better opportunity to win elsewhere. Nothing. But someone that says I don't want to play here, I've got a problem with it, because you've essentially narrowed it down to the area that you have a problem with, not the team. Not the culture, not your teammates or your coach or your owner or your team president. you don't want to be here.
Apparently that was also a long-standing trade request.
Yes,
and that happened.
And he turned up the heat on it after the Team Canada thing.
Little pipsqueak. Whatever. Also,
have you seen his fucking legs, man? He kicked the fuck out of
him. Oh, his legs are like things that I aspire to. I wish I could have.
Gary Roberts said that he was one of the hardest working people, and he was the only person in the NHL actively that could outwork him in his own training camp.
Gary Roberts is the man. He's the reason Stamkos is what he is. He roomed with Stamkos, or Stamkos like lived with him.
Yeah,
didn't he
was. Well, he was the one who roomed with Stamkos when Barry Melrose was saying that he needs to go down.
God, fuck, God, God.
Barry Melrose.
God, that's if we ever make a fucking list of people I hate in Tampa Bay sports history, he is number one three fucking times.
I'm telling you guys.
I fucking hate Barry, but God.
Maybe that would be a good list. Did we actually ever do the top five people in sports I want to punch in the face?
No, we didn't. We should maybe make that happen.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, and not just Tampa, because there's a lot of people.
No, of course not just
that
Tampa.
God, fuck.
AJ Pierzynski, Sean Avery.
You see Sean Avery
for next week.
Did you see Sean Avery with the homeless people?
Yeah, because he's fucking with homeless people. And
why don't you make him a couple purses, bro?
I wish he could get hit by a fucking car.
Yep,
I really do.
I hope. You know what? I hope he gets robbed when he's buying his purses.
All right, guys. You know what, guys? We're being too negative right now. We focus on so many negative topics.
You wanted to lead off with the Rays. You were the one that wanted to lead off with the Rays.
I wanted to get the hate out. The hate's out of me. Okay, I'm done. I'm done with the hate. I think we should move on. I'm sure we should move on.
It sounded like you popped a blood vessel during that segment.
I might have popped the blood. It's all for you. Look, all's good now. All's forgiven. Everything's cool. We've reset. We're good. So I think we should talk about the big news last week. That we missed out on from the podcast.
Just barely.
Why do I feel like you hit the record button without telling me?
Oh, I hit it a long time ago.
He completely did. Welcome to Word of the Bay.
Yeah, that's how this works.
God, Nick, I'm glad you didn't go on your normal racist rants.
Oh,
no, yeah. I know Kyle's cues. I was listening.
Would have been awkward. So last week, we all kind of... talked about, or at least I think Anthony and I think I sort of said that we're going to go through the same thing next year as we did this year with Victor Hedman. It's going to be all the same stuff. It's going to be Hedman watch 2016. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Not even a little bit. Like, before anybody could even think to like write an article about like Victor
now it's Hedman's turn.
Yeah, Hedman's going.
There was one article written. There was one lone article about Vegas being the team that was going to sign him.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Victor Hedman, 8 years.
We didn't even get a fucking week.
Stamkos and Hedman, two pillars. I've been saying this all along. Pillars of the franchise. You got to put those pillars in place. Got to have those big playmakers in place.
Mm-hmm.
And goddamned if we didn't just make a huge move by signing Victor.
One week, we signed two cornerstone athletes to a franchise that was already really good.
What a fucking Viking. What a great Viking we have now, a Swedish Viking.
Yes.
That's going to back up our defense. That's going to be the fucking main piece of our defense for 8 years.
I kind of knew it because like Hedman was the guy that was always wearing the TB hats. And stuff. I think he's kind of proud of this area. I think he loves being here.
He's only got one connection outside of this area, and that's Sweden.
Yeah. Yeah, we've embraced him. Everybody loves Hedman now ever since he started playing
good. When you think about it, I mean, America is, I mean, in this sense, because the NHL is the representative in the American, you know, life here. But it's the best league, and we brought him in as an 18-year-old. We basically taught him how to be a man professionally. And we taught him English. We taught him how to kind of function his own person. Because before this, he was in a junior league in Sweden playing with people who had no right playing against him.
We are all collectively his dad.
Yeah.
We've taught him so many things.
Well, have you, this is kind of irrelevant, but, you know, in Sweden, those guys, they play together from, like, when they're, like, little kids to all the way when they're 18. Like, they stay on the same team, everybody plays together. And I feel like he's got the same kind of connection with this team now.
Well, there's definitely some loyalty that I don't get out of. I would say I don't even get it out of some of the other players on our roster. But for some reason, I just feel like maybe it's because he just signed an 8-year contract. But Hedman seems to, even before all this, he was all in on Tampa Bay. Like,
yeah, I agree.
I never heard one word out of him being unsatisfied with ice time. I never heard one blip of frustration from Victor Hedman. And maybe it's because it's his demeanor and he's a quiet, calm, you know, guy, speaks softly, carry a big stick, but
not very physical for his size either.
Mm-mm. No, he's arguably a very finesse defenseman.
Very technical.
He's one of the best skaters in the league. I would argue that he is the best skater at his size in the league.
It's very arguable. I just want to talk numbers real quick because I don't want to get too deep into the numbers with this because I feel like that's boring. But he took 7.85 or 7.875.
Yeah, less than.
Just to put that into perspective, you know what PK Subban makes a year?
No
for
idea.
The Predators?
Yeah, well, now. Do you know his contract? $9 million.
Nine, yeah. Is there, do you know if, it's $9 million a year, but that's kind of a skewed number because in Montreal there's a tax. So it's not actually nine.
Right.
But regardless, still.
But I don't know what it is in Nashville, so yeah. I don't know if Tennessee has a state tax.
Nick, we're talking about a significant difference. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And you know what that means to me? I think Carl Crawford was very infamous in this area for saying that he's not going to give us the hometown discount. We've just had two players give us a hometown discount. Now, why is that?
Trickle-down effect.
Well, I'll argue the fact that the Rays that Carl Crawford left were in a much worse state than the Lightning that Stamkos and Victor Hedman could have left.
We made the playoffs after he left, son.
You know what I think it is?
Yeah, no, you're right.
You know, I think smart players not only chase the money, which they should, but they also chase the stability. They look for both. And
that's
I
feel like we've had very stable everything.
We talked about it last week. If Jeff Finnick never came into this organization, we just lost Stamkos, and we're probably getting ready to lose Hedman in a year.
Yep. Yep.
We would have not had Bishop. We would have a lot of stuff would have been different.
No, same. Yeah. Well, yeah. But
Kaiser would never got hired.
If this were OK Hockey, same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would have
Saw baby.
Like, there's no way you're pulling Eisenman.
Saw
babies.
There's no way. It just speaks volumes to the current regime in charge of the Lightning. The boys, they all want to stay together. They understand what they have here in this team. They want to stay on this team. They want to stay in this market. They want to stay in this town. They know they understand what they have here, and they're going to do anything they can to keep keep the band together. I mean, I'm sure Hedman and Stamkos and Ben Bishop and Vasilevsky's. They all kind of know what's going to happen this offseason, the next two off seasons. They're going to lose a lot of guys that they want to play with, but it seems like they're doing, like, between them, they're doing everything they can to keep the band together, doesn't it?
Every quote I've heard from Stamkos and Hedman have both been the same. We're right there. We're on the edge. We can taste it. They can fucking smell it, man. They know it. The cup is there. They've been close twice. Okay, it's there, and they got one more try with this roster that's put together right now. As long as Kucherov doesn't get offer sheeted, I swear to God, if anybody offer sheets him, I will go to their headquarters and I will cut you. But
oh, Obama, listen to this, terror.
Yep, terror.
Look, I mean, I think it was a little apparent to me, even in just after the Game 7 loss to the Penguins, we were noticing that Stamkos during the him being interviewed, we're saying a lot of we, us, you know, this organization. He's took a little ownership when he didn't need to. So it was a little indicative of his thought process going into free agency.
Yeah, Stamkos could have easily said, like, yeah, well, you know, we'll see what the future holds. He could have done the whole spiel.
He could have said, I, as an agent, I got to talk to my agent. He could have been very, and it would have been politically correct of him not to. Matter of fact, it was a little bit of a bad poker face for him to say we and us. And because I feel like that showed he wanted to stay. Not that that was a bad thing for us, but maybe a bad thing for him as an arguing chip.
Listen, I'm just ready to get this Kucherov deal done. And put all this shit behind us and focus back on what's fun about this sport. And it's not the contract talks. It's the game.
I'm glad you brought that up because this was a scrapped game that we were going to do earlier in the game. And I told the guys I was going to make a statement or a question about this. And I mean, I'm asking this to both of you, but honestly, Anthony is the more intelligent hockey fan here amongst the three of us. So I'm looking at you here, Anthony.
Okay.
Our top three point getters last year. These are the actual stats. 2016 Tampa Bay Lightning. 66 points, 64 points, and 47 points. Two of those three players just signed 8-year contracts.
Yep.
Yep.
You want to know
one of them's about to get an extension?
Well, that's my question. Is because
he goddamn well better. I mean, that's what everybody's been saying. Like that's like now the big thing on Twitter is like fucking Kuch. When is he gonna come? Like,
I mean, I never thought that I would see Nikita Kucherov's name be a bigger headline with a question mark in Tampa Bay than Ben Bishop. But I stand very corrected because. Every article, every question, every Tampa Bay Lightning Reddit post I'm reading is what's Kuch going to do?
Yeah, well, here's the thing with Kuch, too. And we're not going to – I guarantee you this – if he does sign, which I'm – I'll give it a 99% sure that he's going to be back with a new contract next year. Right? He's an RFA. They're just working out the details, I hope. But he's – when he comes back next year – with the new contract, it's going to be like the whole roster, the big three big pieces of a roster are going to be locked down for multiple years, like 6 to 8 years.
Yeah.
You know how comfortable that's going to be for the team?
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty enticing for other free agents too, especially aging free agents who just want one more run at a cup.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be like the fucking Golden State Warriors over here, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Three or four really good focal piece guys that are young.
Without the championship.
And we're going to pamper them with really talented. Honestly, guys, this is my long shot. I would not be surprised if you see Zdeno Chara on our roster before the end of next season.
I will not.
No, fuck it.
Listen.
No, please no. He's fucking awful.
I will
now.
Not be. Yeah. Look, if you
great number six defenseman, though.
No, he wouldn't. He'd be a bad number six defenseman. He's so slow, man.
We so may slow. Just see Russell Westbrook on the Lightning roster. With
yeah. Listen, this is far from over when it comes to this roster. There's plenty of stuff that's going to happen next offseason, too. But for the first time in a while, we can exhale a little bit.
Yeah, we're set up.
Oh, I'm calm. I'm as calm as I've been in a long time.
Yeah.
That's not to say that we're going to do good next year. We're set up for it, and there's no reason to believe that we won't. But
all right, let's change the
know.
Topic.
You never know.
Andrei Vasilevsky gets an extension as well.
Yeah.
3 years. It technically plays out to 4 years because he had 1 year left on his.
I was about to say, he had 1 year left, so.
And he'll be an RFA at the end of this deal, by the way. He won't be a UFA. But
it was fun, Bishop. I mean, it was.
Yep.
You're the man.
I was going to ask, what does this mean for Bishop?
I love Ben Bishop. I do, but he's the odd man out in this equation.
There's no way we can give him what he wants. This has become it. Now we're really in the territory, and we talked about this with Stamkos, but we thought we were. But we're really in that territory. Listen, we can't afford another $7 million contract on this
roster. No, and that's what he deserves.
Yep.
It's what Ben Bishop deserves, and it's what he's going to ask for. And
he's going to get it.
He's going to get it, exactly. He's just not going to be from us.
Now, and Jared just brought it up in the chat. Do we trade him, or we play him out the whole season?
Maybe
try to get that cup, and then let him walk.
Yeah, maybe play him out. That's what I was just thinking. Like, shit, we've got these two big pieces. If we can get Kucherov as well, fuck it.
How many times have you watched?
Let it ride.
How many times have you watched a team go through, and this is for a lot of sports, that they made it through with the team they started off with?
Very rarely.
I'm alluding to injuries because, yeah, you want to – everybody wants to say, well, we signed up Vasilevsky. You know, he should be a starter. We can get stuff for Bishop and so on and so forth and da-da-da-da-da-da. But you're telling me that you're comfortable with Vasilevsky getting hurt and then Gudlevsky's running this team. Because that's what you're staring at in the face if we trade off Bishop for assets.
And Eiserman's one of those GMs that doesn't feel comfortable unless he has a backup for his backup for his backup.
Right.
Like, that's always how it's been in this organization since he's taken over. He just wants to keep building that pipeline and feel like in any situation we can just replace from within.
Well, what
at least replace. Maybe not play at the same level, but, you know, those guys can carry it until that guy gets back.
Yeah, I can see that thought process.
What if we just, Bishop gets a little less playing time. Vasilevsky gets a little bit more playing time. We'll see how things shake out towards the trade deadline.
You
want to
kind of want to go through like two starters, dual
kinda,
starting.
You kind of play it by ear, see how things go. You know, if Vasi looks good,
1A and 1B.
Yeah. Let's just see what happens. But I, you know, it makes a hell of a lot of sense to just let it ride with Bishop this year. I mean, what would get again? Like just like Anthony said, just like we were talking about right when we came back from break. You know, that Marty deal is not going to happen unless we get, like, unless Eiserman's like, what, are you serious? Like, this is what you're, okay, yeah, here's Marty St. Louis, like take him.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, or the Bishop trade isn't going to happen unless we get some sort of deal like that. So.
The only way I see a Bishop trade going down this season is if Vasilevsky outplays him early and keeps him, wards him off, and Cooper doesn't have a choice. And then if we're in a really good position at the trade deadline, Eiserman shifts him off for whatever, like a really well-respected defenseman with a couple prospects and a pick.
Yeah,
Bishop's going to get a big haul when if he does get traded.
You know what?
And he should, and rightfully so.
Let's let it ride, man. Let it ride. Let's go.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Go ahead, Nick.
I just want to point out that the one thing that if there is a thing to be pointed at Ben Bishop, it's his reliability.
Yes.
And you're telling me to let it ride, you know, push it with these two goaltenders for at least this year, make the run as deep as we can this one. So my counter to you is, what do you do at the three quarters mark of the year and Ben Bishop goes down with a season-ending injury and he is now dead weight on your roster?
Well, it depends on what they've done with Vasilevsky.
Cut him right there. Go ahead.
If Vasilevsky's been playing and they've been doing the 1A, 1B thing, no big deal. You just, okay, now you're really the starter.
But the thing is a big deal because we're effectively getting nothing for him.
We were going to get nothing from him anyways.
Well, he played 75% of the season. I mean, if that's your hypothetical situation.
Yeah. No, that is. Yeah.
The injuries are unforeseen. We're going to get nothing for him anyway, like Kyle said.
Yep.
And you slot in Vasilevsky. You go, here you go, kid. And hopefully he's been playing enough that he's not ice cold. And that's it. It's kind of like the Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady thing.
Yeah,
you hope it goes that way.
I think even though, okay, we've talked about cornerstones today a lot with Stamkos and Hedman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The future of this franchise depends solely on the shoulders of Andrei Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
Solely?
Not solely, but he's a big part of it.
A big part of it.
I would say he's a pretty huge
cog. If he flops... if he flops, we're in trouble.
No, we can make it... No, not necessarily. We can make it work. I mean... other teams have done more with less, so
not in that position,
dude. if you want to put Adam Wilcox in net for a whole season, be my fucking guest.
Look at the last two Stanley Cup winners. Who was in goal for them?
Yeah, Matt, you got to understand.
Really
Murray
elite
played
prospect.
Out. Yeah, like he was a rookie.
Okay,
yes, but
okay.
Play like rookie? No. All I'm saying is goaltending is not one of those positions, at least in hockey, that you can get by with the league average. Because
you can cover up a bad third pairing defenseman. You can cover up a bad fourth line. You cannot cover up a bad goaltender.
Well, I think Vasilevsky has showed us that he has those flashes. I trust
him.
He's good
more than flashes.
I trust the guy.
I do too.
I do too.
And that's saying a lot because the platform that we're stepping off of with Ben Bishop is quite sturdy. And for us to say, here's the keys to this multi-billion-dollar organization. I'm oddly comfortable with handing the keys to Vasilevsky right now.
Grape Welch makes a good point in the chat. There's been average goalies that have won a lot of games and stuff like that, for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not talking about, like, average. I'm talking about, like, he falls flat on his fucking face.
Like, he's bad. He's really bad.
Yeah, like Anders Lindback status.
I don't think that that's who he is, though. Like, you know, I think we know at this point that he's, at least we know his floor. You know what I'm saying? We don't know his ceiling, but we know his floor.
Yeah. I'm ready for him to take over at this point. And it's not a slight against Bishop, but I feel like the sooner we get this kid to go through his, take his lumps and go through his, you know, his bad times, which he's going to have, the sooner that he can develop into that elite goaltender that plays for us for, I don't know, 10 years.
I don't know. Lightning Mom 36 from Newport Richie says, how dare you? Ben Bishop is the key to our franchise. And
Steve Newman caller.
You should be surprised. I was looking through the fucking chat for that name.
I'm just saying what I've seen on the Twitter. This being the dominant franchise in town right now, there's so many casual fans attached to the franchise that it's like, yeah, I've seen you before. You used to wear an All-Star jersey. All-Star.
I'm ready for the torch to be passed. That's
let's
my
pass
conclusion
the torch.
This. Yep.
I think let's just let it ride. Let's roll the dice. Let's go, baby. This is the year. Let's go. Jonathan Drouin, he's up the whole season.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Let's go, baby. Let's just go.
I mean, if you're asking me which way, you know, gun to my head, which way do you want to go? I'd trade Ben Bishop because it's for the betterment of the Lightning.
No, let it ride, baby. Let it ride.
You want to think about some beautiful lines that we're going to have this year with the inclusion of Drouin. Fucking 91-27-86. Come on.
Kalorin's going to be probably what on a third line?
Vladdy's going to be a third line center. Like all if it, things pan out like
that's a great third line.
That's that's three scoring lines.
That's what you need.
I hope we did anybody any word on Boyle?
Yeah, he's back.
He's back. Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
He's got 1 year left.
He's a UFA next year, but
boy.
Yeah, Slater Cuckoo step into the fold full time on defense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He can take over for automatically. Go ahead.
No, Schuster's gonna be up with stay up with us, right? There's no way he gets bumped down.
Yeah, he's got another year left. Yeah. Our defense is probably gonna be Hedman, Strahlman,
Garrison Coburn
and Schuster Cuckoo, which is much better than
Schuster,
Carl,
Nesterov and Carl.
I did not have a problem with Nesterov other than I thought he played a little too much forward to be a defenseman.
He'll probably be our seventh defenseman this year, which is fine. He'll only play handful of games, and he'll step in if someone gets hurt.
Well, honestly, I mean, I'd rather see him than Matt Carl stepping in for somebody than hurt. And the fact that he's a $2.5 million healthy scratch.
You know what I'm looking at a general manager.
I'm on the same page.
We're not paying Vinny LeCavalier anymore.
What?
No.
I thought that lasted for at least another three more years.
It's $0 till 20.
I think that's
off the books,
active,
off the
like cap.
Off the books kind of thing. Oh. I don't think he'd be there in that buyout section if he wasn't getting paid anything.
I mean, so this is how you check. Is Matt Carl listed? Because we're paying him.
Yeah, he is, definitely. For the next four years.
1.8 for the next 4 years.
Yep. You
fucking asshole.
But think of it. My bold prediction for next year is that Cuckoo's in the top four before the end of the year.
Who gets bumped out of the top four?
Coburn.
Yeah, Coburn's
like third pairing last year.
I can see that.
You're a fucking bum, Coburn.
Hey, no, no, no. Let's just be honest, because Coburn is our bum. Our bum is a lot better than, the, I would say, league average. Or at least he is league average.
Right. I would agree with that.
Because yeah, and Welch brought it up in the chat. It's a compliance buyout. So he gets money, but it's not. It doesn't count towards the cap.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, people smarter than me.
The team still pays him. Got it.
Yeah.
Good.
He gets money until 2024.
Good for him. I couldn't think of a better guy.
Hey, guys. Yeah. I was about to say, who else would you rather have the Lightning still pay a former player? I mean, he did fucking give a lot of his money to Tampa General for a fucking wing.
Yeah.
You know who came off the books this year?
Matthias Olund.
Yeah, he did, finally.
Oh, Matthias Olund.
But that was almost $2 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite a bit.
That was a lot. That...
Depending
so
on
you know what?
We just traded Matt Carl for Matthias Olund, and they're
I
both doing
so
about the exact same amount.
I felt so bad for him. He had a degenerative knee problem and stuff like that. Like, sucks.
I mean, when he was in Vancouver, Olund was the shit.
Oh, he was awesome.
I mean,
awesome.
Matt Carl had no excuses. Matt Carl just fucking blew dick all year long, but Matthias Olund had real problems.
Agreed. So, gentlemen, did we just fell the whole podcast off of two teams?
Two teams.
I think that's what we just did.
Wait, can we do a little quick clip? Because I know we covered it a little bit in the beforehand, but so the Tampa Bay Buccaneer got in trouble yesterday.
Oh,
yeah. And. I'm just going to play a game. I mean, we all know the answer here, but we're going to go ahead and play a game. And so Lewis Murphy, arguably our third, some could say our fourth wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was at a wedding and he had a little too much to drink and he passed out and he woke up the next day in that place. So how many people here would think that's a strip club?
What do you mean?
Or maybe a club itself, maybe a bar.
I think maybe one of those kind of venue type places.
Like, yeah, like a national, like a park or a country club or something.
What was that movie Ben Stiller was in? I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
Night at the strip club. Oh, shake that
ass. Lewis Murphy starring in Night at the...
All I was saying is when I read that, yeah, not at the Roxbury. Yeah. When I read that little blip about Lewis Murphy, I would not have thought a buck would have been caught in a museum. I really didn't.
Dude, he was trying to fucking get that tablet so the stuff could keep coming to
life.
Oh,
man. Yeah. You know what? This made me crack up because I would do some shit like this, like, you know, drink a little too much. You're at a friend's wedding, open bar, the fucking give up, yeah, fuck it, you know.
He was trying to make sure the wax figure of Brad Johnson didn't come back to life and quarterback the Bucs.
Wait. So listen to this. Murphy told police that he got nervous and broke glass on one of the doors in order to unlock it. Then called a friend who called 911. Police arrived at 1:12 a.m. and then the museum's facilities manager arrived and estimated the damage to the window at $1,000. Why did you break a window?
Why did you break the fancy window?
Yeah, just
go
hang
to the
out.
Gift shop. Break the one that gets out of there. That's a $29 window pane from Home Depot.
Yeah,
dude, what museum was this?
This was the Flagler Museum in in Palm Beach, Florida.
Hmm.
You couldn't at least broken into Mosey? They got fun shit there. And
stuff. Well, he didn't break in. He just passed out and fell asleep on the stairs.
So how do you?
Dude, you know it'd be creepy to wake up in a museum at night.
Yeah, it would. Well, how does he get left in a museum? Like, don't they have like a sweep?
Athlete, I would have a handler at those kind of things. I'd be like, your job is to make sure I get home. My job is to have fun here. Goodbye.
Well, who's...
I ever told you the story about how my buddy got locked in a Target?
No.
He went there real late. It was one of those like ones that stay open pretty late. And he went there like drunk as fuck, of course.
Yep.
He went to the fucking like lawn chair section and fell asleep on one of those like, hey, you know those like swinging couches?
Yeah.
Yeah. He fell asleep on one of those. apparently nobody saw him. He woke up like 3 hours later in a dark, locked Target. And he had to call the police to come over, to come open the door.
I would just open the door and left.
And he didn't take advantage of being locked in a fucking store. I would have at least stolen some shit and then left.
Yeah, ate a couple Cheetos or something. Like, yeah. Come on, man. Like, take a bag of Cheetos. Take a bag of the barbecue honey ranch Frito twists. At least.
This is your perfect opportunity to jump into the ball pit.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your problem?
Are you kidding me? You go to the toy section, take a bunch of toys out, and pose them randomly amongst the store. They come in the next one, they're going to be like, what?
If it's around Christmas, just put elves on the shelves everywhere.
And then you got to take like Lego blocks, and on the toy section on the floor, you can put Toy Story was a documentary.
Okay, this isn't fucking Home Alone, Nick. They come back and the entire Target is booby-trapped.
You know, I used to work at Sears, and like back in the day, like, or I worked at Sears, and like somebody robbed our Sears by like running, like ramming their car through the back door and just like grabbing TVs off the wall. It's fucking crazy. Like, there was video of it and everything. They didn't go fuck, and they didn't even catch them. Like, they didn't catch them. That's how fucked up it is. Like,
dude, do you want to go rob a Sears? Yeah, man, I've always wanted fucking to get free over expensive pots and pans.
Exactly. Fuck Sears. Fuck you.
Yeah.
What you doing,
hey,
Sears?
What did I do, Sears?
I was in receiving.
He fixed everything that people broke and told them that it was broke.
I was the PMT, and I left. You know why I left is because I put a video up on MySpace of one of our coworkers getting hit with a rubber band, and I guess like somehow they found out in like corporate or something, and they're like, one day the store manager comes up to me. She's like, Kyle, come here. I'm like, what? I'm like, she's like, we have to talk about the video. I'm like, video? Like, what video? She's like, the video on MySpace? I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, the rubber band? I'm like, oh.
Oh, God, they found out I raced the lawnmowers when everybody leaves.
Yeah.
I was just about to say.
Like, wait, who's going on my page and looking at a hint? I'm like, what? Like, after that, I'm like, all right, I'm out of here. Like, I'm quitting. I'm leaving this job. Goodbye. Like, this is.
Oh, they didn't fire you? Quit?
She said that, like, they had to, like, fight for my job or some shit. Or that they had to, like, fight.
I was going to say, because if they were going to get ready to fire you, you must have been doing some other shit in that store.
I don't know, man. It was like the strangest thing. Like, why do you care? Because I put it, like, what?
Oddly enough, I actually got fired from a Target that I used to work at.
It's really easy to get fired from Target.
Well, I got fired on the 89th day of my 90-day thing, and they did not have to tell me why they fired me.
Florida.
So, like, Florida. It literally, there was a closing shift, and they're like, hey, at the end of my closing shift, I was about to clock out. They're like, hey, we need to talk to you and come in. And they're like, we're going to let you go. And seeing that it is within your 90-day work period, we officially do not have to divulge to you why we're letting you go. We hope you have very good luck in your future endeavors, and goodbye.
That's always the most bullshit line from that kind of stuff. We hope you have great luck. We're just firing you because we love you.
I walked back in the store, and I grabbed Blade 2, and I walked Blade out of the 2. Fire exit of electronics.
You couldn't have grabbed a better movie.
I literally, it was the first thing I saw that I wanted. And I as soon as I hit the alarm, the alarms went off and I see people running for the door.
Oh,
and then I just
God.
Got my truck and drove off. And I mean, I never even, it's, you ever have a bad job and you're like, that didn't happen between this time and this time. So you don't even put them in your job history. Yeah, that's what Target is for me.
You know what? You're the reason that Wesley Snipe has tax problems, because you didn't pay for that copy of Blade 2.
Yes, I single-handedly put Wesley Snipes in prison.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
The best actor of our time. You fucked him.
All right, guys. Let's wrap this one up. We're at about an hour and 16 minutes.
Ooh.
I mean, Nick, you could have grabbed Scooby-Doo the movie.
I could have, but wait, I have taste.
You could have grabbed, yeah, well, yeah, Blade, Underworld, yeah. It was between Blade 2 and Underworld. Nick took Blade 2, so
Aren't they the same thing?
Blade 2, Underworld, and Resident Evil 2.
They're all the same. Awesome. My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Grab that.
Aren't they making a sequel to that, too?
Look, I'll put it to you this way. They were still selling brand new DVDs. That's how long ago this was. So it was like...
Nick, I think they still are selling brand new DVDs.
I mean, there was no Blu-rays. Oh. That was like the top of the top.
Nick, were you there with
VHSs were just going out of style.
I got kicked out of a Target once.
Everybody's gotten kicked out of a Target.
They're Target. They're fucking
up. Right, kick out of Target story, go.
Okay. Let's wrap it up. Make sure
Fuck it. I want to hear kicked out of Target story.
I
kicked out of Target.
We were looking at a DVD of the Truman Show, and a friend of mine, I was with my friend Tony, and I was with my friend Ricky, and we were looking at the Truman Show, and they said, like, I've always thought my life was like the Truman Show. I'm like, no, that's bullshit. That is bullshit. My life is the Truman Show. And we were all saying, no, that's bullshit. And a Target employee comes up to me and says, sir, I'm going to need you to cut out that language in the store. And I said, okay, that's fine, okay. That is BS, man. That is BS. And then he goes, oh, you know what? I'm going to ask you to leave. You're going to have to leave the store. And we're like,
You changed your curses. Yeah. To...
We're like, let's go to Chipotle. Like, we're out of here.
That
fine,
wasn't as entertaining as I hoped. We probably should just wrap the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? Go to sharkdropper.com. There's so many podcasts at sharkdropper.com for you to check out. There's also a Patreon button next to the home button on sharkdropper.com. So if you like what Anthony and Nick and I and the rest of the Shark Dropper crew, if you like what we do podcast-wise and you want to find a way to support us, you can go to sharkdropper.com. You can click on the Patreon button. You can donate as little as $1 a month. I think you can even donate less than that. But you can donate more than that. You can donate $1,000 a month to us.
Just because you want
Just because
I mean,
you want
to. We have to somehow pay Kyle's ridiculous salary.
Yeah, look, if you want to donate $1 million a month to us, I can quit my job.
That barely covers it.
Yeah, well, operational costs and everything, you know, if you add everything together, we're just barely clearing $1 million.
You know, guys, if you're listening to the show and you don't want to jump in the deep end of the donate pool, go to iTunes, rate, review us. It takes 90 seconds. It means a lot to us. It may not mean money value, but it gets us where we're going.
And then jump in the deep end.
And then yeah.
And then go back and join Patreon because it felt so good.
Yeah. Does anybody have any bold predictions for next week?
Ooh.
The Rays will not win a game before we re-meet.
That's
not
bold. That went. Yeah, you're right.
Come on. That'd be a whole week of losing. You know what? You're right.
I'm going to go ahead and say Odorizzi is dealt before next podcast.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to say that the Rays. Or actually, I'm going to say Will Myers wins the home run derby.
Is he in it?
He's in it.
Oh. Look at that. A Ray gets to be in the world or in the home run derby, except for he's not a Ray anymore.
Will Myers wins the home run derby.
Yeah, that's very Tampa of us.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, great podcast. I mean, this went
for
by.
For not having a lot of topics.
Yeah, it went by fast. I couldn't believe how fast it went by.
I'm glad that y'all come out to see Kyle lose his mind in the first segment and then slowly cool down throughout the second segment.
Forgot about that part. That did happen, didn't it?
Hey, okay. Kyle, I'm proud of you. We officially made it through with no interrupting music.
Ah, yeah.
Dude, he hasn't stopped recording yet. What are you doing?
Yeah, I figured at this point in time, it'd just be a spite for him to do it. So
what?
Go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, you want?
No, wait, I've got this. Hold on. I got it.
I'm going to do it.
I swear to God, another Creed song.
I'm going to play us out. God damn it. It's not Creed.
A diving catch.
That was one of the worst plays.
You know, I kind of sometimes get it right now. Like right now, I understand. I do. I get it.
Look, see? What did you do to me? Jerry, this is for you.
Is this the Scott Stapp band?
Nope. This is the fucking, it's a Prince video, baby. I'm obsessed with this video. Look, it's Prince, Maya Rudolph's on stage.
Maya Rudolph.
Chris Rock's there. He's playing it live at the SNL 40 event.
You know, sometimes I feel bad for saying things.
Jared knows what I'm talking about.
I should not have said anything.
Yeah, you know, Jared.
You can't take it back now.
Because if I didn't say anything, this podcast would have been fucking over by now.
Oh.
This probably should have ended about 5 minutes ago.
All right, I got another bold prediction. Kucherov signs the extension before we come back. Boom.
Wow, way to bring it back around.
Okay.
Get out of the music videos for a second.
Okay. Let's end it. We got to end it. How dare you, Nick? How dare you say we didn't play a video and then you make me play a video?
I didn't make you do shit. You're your own
bold
person.
Prediction, Creed announces a reunion tour before our next podcast.
See, Jared knows what I'm talking about. Jared loves this video. Oh. If you haven't seen it, seriously, go online. Go Google the Prince SNL 40 after party. Let's go crazy. It is the greatest. It might be the greatest Prince performance I've ever seen.
Oh. I actually have a pertinent word of the day question for y'all.
What's that?
So I'm going to ask.
This is one of my favorite episodes in a long time. I love this episode, by the way. This
are we doing top five people we want to punch in the face next week?
I don't know.
I think we are.
I still want to do that.
I think we should.
Okay.
I've got some anger that I need to get out.
All right. So this is limited to.
Oh, that's a great idea because it's the All-Star break.
Does it need to be players or.
No. I would actually say non-sport. This is a non-athlete thing. I would say
really?
we need to get sports figures.
No, sports. Okay. Sports. Right. Sports figures.
Sports in general. Active, non-active, coach, media member. It has to have
media member. Yeah, he just wants to include Skip Bayless in it.
No.
Don't take that route. Okay, listen. Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless are off the board.
Oh!
What?
Oh!
And I still have three or four people to punch.
Because it's only going to be our top three because we're going to have both of them in our top two.
No. Kyle and I definitely have some hate for a few broadcasters.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith are in the Hall of Fame. They can't be touched.
Off the board.
Yeah.
Can't pick them.
Their jerseys have been retired.
Whatever. I'd pick a fight with LeBron James
whatever. I love LeBron.
Next week, Kyle leads off with Skip Bayless.
I watched Train Wreck last night. LeBron's the shit. Love him.
All right. So you guys have that to look forward to next week. We're gonna vent and you find out who we want to punch in the face.
But for this week, we're done. So that was Word of the Bay for this week. I'm Kyle.
I am Nick.
And I'm Anthony.
And next week, top five guys we hate, right?
Yep.
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 Bye, everybody.
Bye.